Hey folks, welcome all to K-Drama School. I am in my bedroom in my New York home at my parents' house. It's interesting, I was talking to my mom the other day, and I was like, "Oh, remember how at that time at our house?" And then she was like, "You mean my house?" She kind of corrected me, and I was like, "Oh shit, it's like that, huh?" It was a very interesting moment. Did I mention this already? I might have mentioned the story already. If I did, I'm sorry for repeating myself. Maybe I'm still not over it because it was so shocking. I had a very lovely few days. I spent the last few days in the city, and there's something very energizing and revitalizing about being in New York. I definitely felt good. I ate a lot of good food, saw my dearest friends, and I was sort of thinking today how all my friends in New York, the ones that I see and I'll stay with, or I always make an effort to reach out to. When I talk to these people, they feel like teachers to me, like some kind of soul teacher of some kind, because all of them have such depth. They do. They have the kind of depths that I just, I really quite lacked, I think, when I was in LA. I did a show over the weekend, and it was with Crystal Adams and Alexis Bradby, two comedians who I met in Los Angeles, and they were both guests on this podcast, and they are now based in New York. And they produce a show together. It's called the Astigmatism Comedy Show. And it's a monthly show. And if you're ever in New York, check them out. You can also follow Astigmatism Comedy. In any case, I saw them at the venue, which was PNT Knitwear. It's like a bookstore and a podcast recording studio. And we met there, and they just looked happy. They looked bright and happy and healthy. And then, after the show, I was talking to Crystal, and I was like, "Do you miss LA?" And she was like, "I don't miss LA, not one bit." And then she was like, I regret not leaving sooner." And when I told her that, for me, living in LA felt like being in an abusive relationship with an emotionally unavailable person, she was like, "Yeah, that's exactly what it is like to live there." And it's interesting how, once you get out of a relationship or you get out of a space, you see all the problems with such clarity. And that's sort of what I'm going through these last couple of days. I'm just seeing how toxic LA was for me, seeing it with such clarity. But at the same time, I also know that there were so many benefits to me living in LA. And the achievements that I've come to receive. I was able to make those achievements because I was in LA. So that I won't deny. It was a time and a place, yes, in my life. And I have moved on. And maybe I'll return. I'm sure I will for work. But other than that, I don't really see myself, living there as a very happy person. Another thing that Crystal pointed out was she's like, LA is a fun place to live if you're really rich. And I was like, that's true. That's 100% true. In any case, just catching up with old friends, talking, eating good food. All of that was just so nourishing for me, and I felt rejuvenized, revitalized, and my head was working in a good way. My heart was very open. Today, I went to see an old friend. She and I are both Fulbrighters. Actually, she was a guest on our show, Helen Hyun-kyung Park, who's an artist, a videographer, also Buddhist, also a teacher. In any case, we were hanging out today, and she, I don't know, well, before I met up with her, I just felt like such an emotionalness. Like, I kept feeling like I wanted to cry. And then when I was there, like, she had just moved to a new place and I was checking out her new apartment. There's just like so many like color schemes and this and that that just like made me think of like spiritual visions and things that I've had. And I was just like, you know, what was the work that she and I was supposed to do, you know, in this incarnation, in this life as human beings? Like, what is that? And it just made me think about that. And I was like, in what way is she my teacher, you know, like on a soul level? And yeah, so like I'm glad that I'm happy I'm able to have these kinds of like thoughts at the moment, 'cause I think being back here in this part of New York in Rockland County, it's been depressing. Like just sitting in my old room, in a room where I used to be really unhappy, and where in this house where there was a lot of trauma, not just trauma, also like a lot of love and good stuff, but like you know, it's a lot. And just the other day, like when I was walking around the park, and that park used to be a shithole, and then like the pandemic made it like this beautiful place. There's a pickleball court, like now it's like packed. And I was walking towards the park, and like a group of teenage white boys in like a sports car like pulls up and they start shouting things at me, you know? Like racialized and gendered assaults, like out the window. And I was just like, isn't this interesting? You know, like this is something that I didn't deal with in LA. I really didn't deal with that kind of shit in LA. Yeah. And I just forgot how like racist New York was to me, you know, like even like walking around the streets, like getting catcalled and things like that. That was something I didn't miss, because in LA, like you are in a car all the time, so like you're kind of protected from the outer elements, you know, whereas in New York, you're like more exposed because you're walking the streets and things like that. So, yeah, that's been interesting. But yeah, being back in the city, hanging out with friends, eating good food, doing this and that, seeing how much the city's changed. Like, it's gotten more expensive. Chicken and rice now cost $10, you guys. It used to cost $5, okay? Like, on the more expensive side, it was like $7. Ooh, $6.95. It was like that. But now, $10. Two slices of pizza and a soda, $10. I'm like, what the hell's happening? What is happening to New York City? Anyway, you guys, this is a podcast episode dedicated to Pride Month. Happy Pride. And I wanted to do something like this for a long time, and I'm doing it now. So let's get into it. What are some top queer K-dramas that we can discuss? How about Captivating the King? Captivating the King. This is you know, a show I already covered, but like, yeah, basically the king falls in love with a guy who is good at padu. That's what happens. And then turns out he's not a guy, he's a chick. And then the king is like, oh, what a relief, because I thought I was gay, but I know I'm not. I'm not attracted to all men. And I thought that's what that was another interesting thing. The way that, you know, Cho Jung-suk's character thought he's only gay if he's like attracted to all men, right? And that's how you could tell he's like really not gay, because that's not how gay dudes work. Although some gay guys might disagree. They'll be like, you know, I mean, I've seen my gay friends, like they're prowling constantly, constantly prowling. But you know, like attraction is based on attraction, like a genuine feeling, a genuine draw. You can't, come on, it's not random like that, dude. But he does fall in love with this person who was cross-dressing and passing as a man, a very feminine man. And he had genuine feelings for him, although it turned out to be a lady later. Mr. Queen is another very queer K-drama, I would say. It is queer in that it was like a dude's soul in a woman's body, and then the woman's body dude is like trying to maintain the fact that he's a dude, but then he eventually gives it up. Like so fast. It's like gone. And now he's just committed to being a lady. And that's what makes it queer. It's like, okay, this is another kind of sexuality. This is like another kind of way of being or existing, you know? Queerness doesn't even necessarily have to do with sexuality. It could be all kinds of other realms, like existence, a queer way of being, a queer mode of thinking, a queer way of seeing. Yeah? We could queer what we state to be queer. Oh, I like that. The King's Affection, is another queer drama, like, right? Like a lady king. She's a lady dressed like a king, and there's like dudes like falling in love with the king when she's passing as a dude. There's that too. That's like very queer. It's like, why is it always a period piece? Why? You know? Is it to be like, oh, this is like a nostalgic pastime? Gayness, transness, queerness. This is like a nostalgic pastime. This isn't something that happens anymore. So we got to look at history to find queerness. Is that what it is? So, like, if we think about queer theory and how queer theorists are always thinking about like the utopia, the future, queer future, like, you know, aspiring towards something or going after a goal, like, queerness is always out of reach or something. Queer idealism is out of reach. There's that. But then, in the case with Korea, queerness is a pastime that they're longing for, except this pastime is projected into the imaginary. And they're like, oh, maybe this is the only way we could get queerness to pass on television if it's in the realm of a space that no longer exists, or a time and place that no longer exists, then we can discuss the stuff on television. And it could be the lead character having queer relations and queer love on screen. So, yeah, I like that. Let's talk about queer icons, okay? I think this is also relevant. Like, people like Kim Hee-sun, you know, and Kim Sun-ah. Like, I feel like The Lady in Dignity, that's a very queer drama because it's a makjang. And also, like, Kim Hee-sun and Kim Sun-ah are to me very, very much queer icons. They're like iconically queer. Kim Hee-sun is more like the Sarah Jessica Parker type, you know? Like, oh, like so like smooth, beautiful voice, like so feminine, sophisticated, charming, delicate, you know, like fun girl. Fun girl, sweet girl. Always has a boyfriend girl, comfortable. Yeah, that's Kim Hee-sun to me. And then you have Kim Sun-ah. She's a lot more rough around the edges, you know, rough around the edges. She's the kind of girl that will like step up to like protect her, you know, gay friends, right? If anybody's like messing with the gay friend, she's gonna like, she'll go and fuck you up. Like, that's Kim Hee-sun. I'm sorry, that's Kim Sun-ah. So you got these two very different kinds of queer iconic women that are in one show, and how does their dynamic play out? How does their chemistry play out? And these are two women, right? Like, there's like a rivalry between them. There's a queer tension between them. You can always read this as like a lesbian text almost, you know? Like, what's your deal, these two women, right? Although they're working through family dysfunction. That's what they're detangling or untangling, family dysfunction. Okay, Goblin is to me a queer drama because it's like so gay. It's like very camp and gay and fun and fruity. And Kong Yu is to me a very queer icon. He's a queer icon. To me, he's like a pansexually queer icon. Everybody loves him. Gay people love him. Straight people love him. Women love him, of course, but I feel like straight guys love him too. He did, you know, Train to Busan, and everybody loves that movie. A lot of dudes love that movie. I'm like, dude, you love that movie because you love Kong Yu. You don't realize it, but that's the draw. That's the attraction, bitch. Yeah, everybody loves Goblin. Everybody loves Kong Yu because Kong Yu is a queer icon. I would say Kim Hye, queer icon for sure. World of the Married, excellent makjang drama. Makjang to me is just like a camp ass drama. Camp to me is like, you know, musicals, Broadway musicals, you know, extreme, hysterical, garish, over the top, excessive, nuts, unpredictable, dramatic, passionate. That's to me gay camp. And World of the Married has all of that. And Kim Hye is like a queer icon because she's powerful, mature, powerful, bold, makes radical decisions in all of the roles that she takes, Like she did the one with, what was it, like a scandal, love scandal or something like that. It's with her and Yoo Ah-in, Like he's a young boy, he's like over 20 years younger than her, and they start an affair. Come on, come on. Kim Hye is a queer icon, is she not? So I think that's enough in terms of like the queer shows. So yeah, like happy Pride. Enjoy these shows. And if you have other shows that come to mind that make you think of like queerness, yeah, just like email me, kdramaschool@gmail.com. You could leave them as a message on my Instagram, Grace Jung Comedy, or kdramaschool. You can also follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Grace Jung Comedy and at kdramaschool. You can buy my book, K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television. And yeah, keep on living. Keep on striving. Peace. See you guys next week.